Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
My name is Richard Keyes.
And my name is Andrew Gray.
And what a treat you're in for.
Me?
No, I'll listen.
Oh, right, okay. I thought you were going to do something special. I was in for a treat there, son.
And you'll notice I mentioned listener in the singular.
Yeah. Is it bad?
Of course it's not, but why do you always... Why did you say listener then? Negative?
You're the negative one. You've started negatively.
I speak ironically.
Oh, okay then.
And underplay the enormous success that this podcast is registering for
us. I'm no good with irony.
No. Okay. Anyway. this is Keyes and Gray, the podcast. If you're listening for the first time, it's very good to have your company. The many hundreds of thousands running into millions worldwide are regulars.
I'm happy now.
And do please do what they have. Pass on the good news that you found us again. What were you doing yesterday?
Me?
This being Friday, what's the date? The 11th? I think so, yeah. The 11th.
Oh, well, you know what I was doing? I was trying to play golf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was yesterday a big day in your life at any time? The 10th of December?
Yeah. I know where you're going now. Because somebody's, Wellesby texts me yesterday. Wellesby, he texts me a picture and said, you did this in 1983, are you talking about?
What did you do in 1983?
Yesterday, I signed for Everton.
December the 10th, 1983,
There you go. It's November, not December.
It is November, of course. I'm way ahead of myself.
You're having a belter, you are. World Cup's gone. My name's Richard Keyes. Who's won the World Cup?
Well, we're on the cusp of a final.
Yes, yesterday. Amazing, that. Vivid in my mind as well.
Well, talk to me about it.
It was weird.
You're trolling your big ass around for Wolves.
Yeah.
Your best days are way behind you. You've got one and a half knees to speak of. And things aren't going necessarily as well as you would have wished them to.
Disastrously would be a better word to use.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it was. I was 28. I'm thinking, was it 28?
Really, is it?
28, coming up. 28. Wow. Coming up 28. It was 27. 28 in 3 weeks. So I'm sitting at Wolves. We're on the way down again. Second relegation, it would have been in 3 years. The club is in turmoil. It's bankrupt, wasn't it? It got sold. It went into liquidation. It was horrendous. I honestly and truthfully believed that was it.
What were you earning?
Oh, God. 600-700 a week, maybe.
Not bad. Very good.
What? I was the costliest player in Britain.
Standards. Yeah, but that's your fault.
It's not my fault.
Of course it was your fault. First of all, you fell out with Ron Saunders. And then secondly...
He fell out with me.
You turned down Doug's offer to stay if he sacked him.
Yeah.
Which you should have done.
Well, maybe.
Which you should have done.
Maybe.
And then you took a move to a club that obviously has a deep and meaningful emotion within you. But you should never have gone to Wolves.
But I couldn't go anywhere else.
Well, then you should have stayed at Villa.
I couldn't sit with Saunders. I couldn't stay with him.
No. Yes, Mr. Chairman, John and I are more than happy if you get rid of the manager to stay at the football club.
Yeah, no, I couldn't do that. Anyway, why? I couldn't do that. I just couldn't. You know me, I'm not like that.
Yeah, well, I would have done.
You would have done that. Exactly. There lies the difference in you and I. Sometimes
sometimes you regret. But you don't regret.
No, I don't regret.
That's without regret of what you did at Wolves, because you're very proud of that.
Yeah.
You've got records that still stand today for having played for the football club. But at this time in your career, at 28, when you should have been at your peak,
I thought it was done.
You're on your arse.
I thought it was done.
Yeah.
And got a call.
I think we've covered everything there.
Got a call. Yeah, I was on my arse. Got a call. Howard Kendall wants to talk to you. Can you get up there?
Hold on. You got a call.
from Graham Hawkins.
Yeah, from, oh, so you're at home.
I'm at home. He says, come in, pick up your medical records. So they'd obviously...
No, hold on. So Graham Hawkins... Well, let's just take this slowly. You pick up the phone.
Well, I don't want to bore everybody.
It's not a bore.
Oh, okay then.
Or Bagnall 2491. Or whatever it was. So Graham Hawkins says...
We've had an offer.
Yep.
You're one of the few assets the club have got. They haven't got any money. They've decided to sell you. I went, okay, what do I do now? And I said, Pop, can you get back into Molyneux, pick up your medical records? They want to see them.
He also told you where the offer had come from.
From Everton, yeah. And
well, at the time, well,
we're one place above Wolves.
Well, I was going to say, at the time,
They were one place above Wolves, but it was, like, I knew all about Everton. Obviously, it's history. It's a bit like Wolves.
Had you spoken to anybody?
No. Oh, yeah. Well, I had spoken to...
Reedy, who was going to join you at Wolves at one time.
He did.
But
he was going to come and join us. I did speak to the late, great Bill Shankly.
Yeah, but nobody at Everton?
Nope. Nobody ever.
What did Shanks say to you?
Shanks called me. I was at home. And a real surprise. And he battered Ron Saunders.
Aye, son, you need to get away from that man. He's going to destroy you, running you up and down these hills and all that with the training. He says, you need to get away.
And they played on hills.
Yes, he's brilliant. He was fantastic. And I basically just sat there with my mouth open because I couldn't believe Bill Shankly had called me. And he said, if you're wanting my advice, son, yeah, I'd be moving on as soon as I can. So things like that influence you as well. Got my records, went up to meet Howard. Met him at the Queen's Head. No one will be surprised at that. Didn't go to the ground to meet Howard. He said, meet me in Queen's Drive. And there was a pub. I think it was the Queen's Head, isn't it?
No.
Is it the Queen's?
The Rocket.
No, it's not the Rocket.
No.
Ronnie
Rosenthal. Not because of anything he ever did on the football pitch, but the Liverpool coach used to stop at the Rocket.
Did it really?
He would get off. Yeah. So he became known as Rocket Ronnie.
It was on Queen's Drive. It was not far from Belfield. So he said, meet me.
Oh, the pub on the corner.
The big pub. And so we met there for lunch and I had a chat with him. And you know, Howard's easy, isn't he? Yeah. He's so easy to like. He's so easy to get on with.
Did Howard have a glass of...
Of course we did. We champagne both did. Or, yeah. We had a glass each. This was on Thursday, but you know, I didn't expect to be playing on the Saturday, let alone for Everton, let alone for Wolves. We had a chat. What'd you think? And I just thought, you know what? I needed to get away from Wolves just to see if there was anything left in the tank. Because it's amazing when your confidence, your belief in what you've done for 10 years suddenly is gone.
Well, you don't need to explain that to us. That's how we started this podcast.
Oh, yeah, I suppose it is. Yeah, you're right. When it's gone, you kind of think, wow.
I would say that's one of the great ironies with you. You're a very sensitive individual who off the field is not what people see when you played football, which is this warrior, somebody prepared to put his head and knees, and that was the case all too often, into places that you shouldn't have done. So I get all that. But you did need a change.
Yeah, definitely. And so I said, yeah, let's do it. Trouble was, I'd gone past the signing. For to play on the Saturday. It was Thursday lunchtime, I think.
Yeah.
This was Thursday after lunchtime. So Howard came up with the idea of signing on loan for 48 hours and then signing on Sunday. Well, you can imagine if I'd got injured on the Saturday, what would have happened? The loan would have been cancelled and I'd been back at Wolves. But I was quite happy and prepared to take that chance. We were playing Forest at Goodison.
Oh, that reminds me, our guest today.
Oh, yes.
Would have been in that team.
He may have been.
Almost certainly.
Wow.
Martin O'Neill.
Would he have been in that?
Shortly. He's got a book out. He's a typical...
Will he remember?
Oh, I would have thought so.
Oh, I wonder.
They would have been, I guess, fresh into the league. They probably won the title that year. They would have been fresh into the league.
83, that would have been. November 83. But
Martin, he's written his book longhand.
That's right.
He's written the book.
Wow.
Every word of it.
No.
Longhand. All things being equal... I texted him last night and said, why am I always so nervous whenever I'm trying to arrange something with you?
He's funny, Martin, isn't he?
You know, there's more than half a chance he won't be there. Anyway, you play Forest.
Yeah, we play. We sign and I sign on loan. See the doc. Doc's rather surprised at the state of my knee.
Doc Irving.
Yeah, Doc Irving was looked at my knee, my right knee, and it was up. It was fluid in it because I'd played on the Wednesday night against Preston in the League Cup. It cost me a League Cup final place that day, that year. It was up, and he went, "Wow." He said, "It's a little swollen, your knee, isn't it?" I said, "It's no problem, Doc.
Stop tapping your hand.
I can manage it. It's no problem. I manage it."
Yeah. All right, Lewis.
So,
yeah,
Lewis,
yeah,
am I tapping? Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Paul. And he says, "So if we don't sign, what will you be doing?" And Saturday, I said, "Well, I'll be playing for Wolves." He went, "Oh, you will?" I said, "Yeah, yeah, this will go down tomorrow." So I know my knee. And he went, "Well, okay, I like that." He said, "So, on we go."
Done.
Deal done. Played Forest. Remember going to Inchy and I played. Sharpie was injured. They'd got injured midweek in a cup tie against your team, Coventry. Everton put them out, if I remember rightly.
Well, it would have been a rare win.
You shut up.
Everton rarely, if ever, beat Coventry.
Really?
When I looked,
is that one of these quirks of fate?
When I looked at the fixture list at the start of the season, I knew that was 3 points.
Are coming your way.
The donkey kick was scored against Everton.
Was it really? Wow.
Garen Hunt.
Wow. Goodness. But anyway, we played Coventry midweek. Sharpie got injured, so me and Inchy played up front. Inchy had been toiling, as you know. You were there. You remember those days. I'd come for big money.
I had gone, but...
But you remember Inchy coming.
£750,000 from Stoke. Howard called me. We've signed new Kevin Keegan.
Oh, there
I said,
you go.
"Have you really?" I said, "I'm waiting for this now." Who?
Yeah, <you're...
laughs> but what a great lad! What a lifelong wonderful little character who was probably never really got the credit he should have had because yourself and Reedy drove it.
Aye.
Sharpie was magnificent.
Yeah,
you know there were others.
Neville, best goalkeeper in the
but
world.
But Inchy was a great lad.
Brilliant lad, and he'd been having trouble. So I remember pulling at the beginning of the game. And I just say to him, "Listen, anything that comes in the box, get yourself around me." I said, "I will get you a chance. Something will drop. I'll make something happen, and it will drop. And get you, just make sure you're anywhere near me when the ball comes in the penalty area." And sure enough, it did happen. I managed to make something happen for Inchy. He scored the only goal. 1-0 we won, and we weren't off and running. But
I did that in Singapore. And fuck all dropped my way. In fact, the only half chance I would have been. It was a half chance, but I would have been scoring.
No.
And what did Billy Big Time do?
Well, I had two choices.
Yeah, exactly.
Football's all about choices.
Yeah, and you made
I had
the wrong
a choice.
One.
I looked up. I was kind of inside left, scorable position. I looked to my right, and there was only one option.
Keeper
you.
Picked it up like it were a back pass.
There was only one option. You. So I took the better option up, and that was it. We I signed the next day. And no one thought that what was going to happen happened. I mean, I remember they were laughing at me when I got interviewed. They said, "Why have you come to Everton?" And I actually meant it. And you know me, I said, "Well, I've come here to win things." And they went, you could hear the little sniggers.
Second division of course. Championship?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's as it happens. I remember one or two
that
sniggers.
That was the most likely at that time.
Yeah, but it was then. They were fourth bottom, fifth bottom of the league, Everton then. And the run up the league from the turn of the year, from January, and then the FA Cup run, League Cup run, got to the final, Liverpool beat us. Remember Sui? Wanker. Mm-hmm. Bastard. Anyway, Sui scored at Main Road.
Miscontrol. He spun, unlike Graham.
And just hit it.
And hit it with his left foot.
Was it his left?
And somehow it found it. I was there that night.
So that run into the final, and then the FA Cup went, I could play in that. So I was doubly determined. The boys had sampled Wembley. They had been there. I went to watch, obviously, because I was cup-tied. Stupid rule, that, anyway. Stupid rule.
Well, more so now. I understood then, but more so now, because you can join at any time.
How can I play a cup tie in November and not be able to play the following May in a cup final?
Yeah, you've got a point.
So I was driven to play. I wanted to get back to Wembley. We did, won it. And then the next season was just... Well, a blur.
Did me a big favour that night at Main Road because I was working at TVAM at that time.
Yeah.
And I got, I think, probably one of the first, if not maybe the first. Post-match, both captains. You know, even now it's rare that you put a member of both. But I knew both well. Radzes came out and... must have been then, Sui. But both came out and had a chat. And I remember...
Sui been captain then, eh?
I think so.
That early?
Sui, Tomo, maybe. Back at Camden Lock, they were... By the way, this isn't bad. Okay.
Aston Villa Crest.
I am now holding up
Yeah.
Aston Villa Crest.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's meaning nothing to you, is it?
No, it looks like the badge it's always been.
It does, but it's not. It's the new badge for next year. The lion is facing the wrong way. He's facing into the future.
Instead
and
of
there's
in the
a
past.
Little star on there.
Can I saw the star. The star will be the European Cup win. Yeah, yep. I thought that.
It's been criticised heavily.
By Villa fans. Because it looks like Chelsea. But Chelsea's looking the other way into the
yeah,
past.
Yeah, but it's a bit samey, isn't it?
It's a bit samey. But Chelsea don't have the crown.
No.
Or the star.
Well, they should have too.
No, but why not?
I don't know. It's not on there.
Yeah.
But I actually quite like it. I think it's tidy. They ran a competition
tidy,
but, Villa.
If you put the last one and the new one up, apart from the star and them facing the other way, I wouldn't have a clue what the difference would have been.
No. Looks what about the Geordie Conman caught for count of it £20 notes?
That was funny. Poon. I was wetting myself yesterday.
£20. P-O-O-N-D. And it was printed on the...
Seriously. I know. That must... No.
£20.
I had to look and see if it was April the 1st. I thought we were getting taken in.
£20. The England squad, of course, or Gareth... Yep. Gareth South... Let me phrase it like this. Gareth Southgate has named his squad for the World Cup.
Well done.
Brazil.
Are you not happy with your team?
No, I'm...
Does it not fill you full of confidence?
No, I think he's done as well as he can. There are a couple there that surprise me. Madison is a surprise to me. I know there's been an enormous amount of demand. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Maybe he will. You know, maybe Mount's so far off the pace at the moment that...
Sterling, Foden. There are a lot of players play the same place here for me.
You know, he's come from nowhere. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's a good sign.
Yeah, sometimes.
Conor Gallagher surprised me, I
must
say.
Little for me, uh-huh. But he's liked him. He's always liked him, I think.
Walker.
Never
learn?
You have to take a risk with him.
Gareth Southgate's always talked about choosing on form and fitness.
No, he doesn't.
And that's neither.
He doesn't. He doesn't really. He does sometimes. Sanko's nowhere near form, so he's not going. But he's picked, like, Maguire. You picked Maguire on form of fitness?
Well, I picked Maguire on the fact that he's never let me down at international level.
No, I know.
But
you're not picking him on form of fitness.
And I think he's been enormously over-criticised to the point whereby, you know, I mean, people talk about mental health issues. He must be in turmoil at the moment.
Phillips?
Another one. Don't get it.
14 minutes at
Is
football.
He, that good
before
that
midweek.
He's got to be in a England squad for the really.
I heard your coach talking the other day, and he says we do lack, to use the modern vernacular, we do lack number sixes. He said English playing number sixes. He says, and that's why I have to take Calvin Phillips and
Ian Ladyman today in the Mail. Exciting squad can deliver in the desert. Attacking flair everywhere you look means England will head to Qatar with optimism. Well, I think they should come to Qatar with optimism.
Well, they
bearing
should.
In mind they were in a final of the Euros.
Yes.
And I expect them to go deep into this tournament. England fan Rio Ferdinand said this week, don't win it, fail.
I'm not sure. Well, I am sure it's not the case. No. When was the last time England won the World Cup? Remind me. But what I'm saying is, so you cannot then turn around and say if they don't win it, it's failure.
I think England, if you look into the minutiae,
yes.
I think England have been very, very unfortunate in many a tournament. Maradona, Argies, we win that, we win the tournament. Waddle's penalty, semi-final, we win that, we win
but
the tournament. I know what you're saying.
That's tournament football.
Of course, and I'm not suggesting for a minute that the outcome should have been any different, but I'm just saying that I think we've had more of an impact in tournaments than perhaps we give ourselves credit for.
Maybe.
Only won it once. 1970, you know, two up against Germany. Alf.
Alf did, took off Bobby.
Bobby, what are you doing? You know, I mean, we were cruising in that. So I think there have been other tournaments where we've been a little unfortunate.
Well, you've had other tournaments where you've had a cruise through.
Not
you get
arguing that.
Talking about lucks and draws.
What I'm saying is I think we've been perhaps over-criticised at different times down the years. At major tournaments. I think we've done okay.
Would you say, because we've covered most of them over the last 20, 30 years, you and I, would you say that England fans are going into this tournament with the lowest expectation they've had for 15 years,
if
16
they are,
years?
It would surprise me, because bear in mind we were beaten finalists at the Euros.
Yeah, but bear in mind your form isn't good.
Agreed, but when that final whistle went, everybody was talking about going to Qatar.
Yeah.
Everybody.
I get that. But has the team moved on?
I think the team's gone backwards.
That well, that's what I'm saying to you. So I get the impression from everyone I speak to back in the UK that, yes, they would want England to do well. You lot, of course you do. But there's not as much bravado as I've seen in recent tournaments.
Good. I don't want to hear football's coming home.
Oh, you'll hear it all
I
right.
I do not want to hear that song at any point during
the tournament.
I'll
tell you when
tournament. It starts. When they come out of the group.
After Sunday. No, after Sunday.
It is so antagonistic to people that live and work abroad and teams that don't understand. You'll
hear it.
I've always said this. It's been a terrific song for those at home to
get behind.
Enjoy, get behind, understand the irony of the words. But abroad, outside of the borders of the UK, people don't do irony. They just see it as a...
Arrogant. Do you
contribution
think so?
To it. Yeah, I do. And I think it fires people up. Bury it, please. Don't play it. Enough. So I don't want to hear that.
Well, you'll hear it after Sunday, I bet you. Monday morning, that'll be the first thing you'll hear.
Saints announce Nathan Jones as their new manager. Good luck to him.
Yeah, good luck.
Nice good luck. Guy.
Yes. Yes, he's had a few opportunities, hasn't he?
But well, he's had one.
Which
that
ones?
Didn't necessarily go well at Stoke.
Stoke, yeah.
Yeah, it didn't go as well as he wanted it to. And Luton, I thought, were very good, really, in picking him back up. But what a job he's done for them.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
He possesses no fingernails. No, he bites them down to the quick.
Dear.
But he's a British
good luck.
Coach who I wish all the luck in the world
Absolutely.
To. Fantastic football club. Wonderful, wonderful part of the world to live.
Yeah,
lovely
yeah,
part
yeah,
of the world
it
to
is.
Live. It's all there for him. Conte fears for really tired Kane. Nottingham Forest sink Tottenham. That after the Carabao Cup win this week.
What does he mean?
He says he's tired.
What, this season? Or is this a combination of...
He says he's tired now. Which leads me to ask, why play him? If he's tired.
If he's tired.
Why is he tired?
I don't know.
Why is he tired?
Well, if he's tired because of a combination of...
He started all 21 of Tottenham's games this season.
Okay.
21.
Yeah, exactly.
No?
Now I know. Listen, what can you say?
Just back on the World Cup, I've just turned to a page that I was looking for when we were discussing it, and I've now found it. England tipped to win the trophy based on insurable value. Now, keep your eyes on this. England have been tipped to win the World Cup by a forecasting model that successfully predicted France would win 2018 and Germany 2014.
Go ahead.
Okay. According to Lloyd's of London, which has made its prediction based on insurable value, all of the 32 teams in Qatar, Gareth Southgate's men will emerge triumphant over Brazil in the final after topping Group B and then beating Senegal, France and Spain en route. Underpinning Lloyd's model is the notion that salaries in elite football are a decent proxy for talent and therefore the quality of every squad can be calculated by assessing factors that include wages, endorsement incomes and players' ages.
Well,
the research, backed by data and analysis by the Centre of Economics and Business Research and Sporting Intelligence, found that England's squad in Qatar will have an estimated insurable value of 3.17 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Ahead of France, 2.66 billion and Brazil, 2.56 billion. It also found that the average insurable value of one of England or France player is more than the entire Costa Rica squad. Well, that doesn't surprise me.
Doesn't surprise me.
England are third favourites, I think.
Are they really?
Yeah. England, favourite. 8-1, four favourites behind Brazil, Argentina and France.
Okay.
Insurable value. You're going to hear that a lot from me, particularly during this tournament.
Okay. Well, I look forward to that. At least I know what you'll be talking about then. And that
but they can
make
back,
a change.
They can back it up.
No, I know. Yeah, okay. Let me think. What's the richest league in the world? Premier League.
Yep.
Oh, yes. Who pays most money than any other league in the world to footballers? Oh, the Premier League.
Where are the best players in the world?
Who pays more to buy the players than any other league in the world? The Premier League.
Yep.
Right. So, therefore, it follows that the players that play in the Premier League, England players, because most of them, any of that squad playing abroad, your squad, England?
Bellingham.
One. Only until next summer. You see, City are up favourites then.
Well, apparently. I think Liverpool are going to have something to say. By the way, just on Liverpool, my reading of what I have heard this week is that FSG have not put Liverpool up for sale.
Right.
Not. Liverpool's owners have been looking for investment.
Mm-hmm.
Which is an entirely different
thing. Totally different thing.
That's my reading of it.
Okay.
I don't think FSG are bailing at all.
Yeah.
But I do believe they're looking around. And I think that explains why Klopp said what he did recently about competing with clubs that are owned by nation states, that it's impossible for them to do so. That everybody has written for sale.
Yeah.
I don't think they are. That's okay.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In my view. All anyway, right. Go on.
All right, so it therefore follows that the English squad is going to be worth miles more than any other squad, no matter how good your players are, because every player plays in the Premier League, bar one, and everyone is paid huge money, and the transfer fees are massive. So it as follows. But listen, if you say the last two World Cups they've got it right, then we shall keep an eye
then
on that.
Then they have form. Aston Villa paid Rangers 4.25 mil in compo for Steven Gerrard, and that works out at £326,000 per win during his time at Aston Villa.
Wow. Nice work if you can get it.
Yeah. And Frank, how much pressure is Frank under?
I'm sorry, I watched that the other night. I was cringing.
If you make those mistakes repetitively, that's probably why you don't play as much. Frank Lampard slams his fringe players. Well, he's got a point.
Yeah, he has got a point.
But
yeah,
if you're looking for a result,
yeah,
and you don't want to put yourself under pressure.
But by the way, they're back at Bournemouth this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you imagine they get beat at Bournemouth again in a league game.
Good, is it?
Oh, no, it was dreadful. It was dreadful. It was really poor. I was really disappointed. There was nothing there.
And I'll tell you who else is under pressure before we take a break and speak with Martin. Graham Potter.
No.
Yes.
Already?
4 games.
Uh-huh.
No wins.
I know. 2 points.
2 points. 2 goals,
Something of that order. Yeah, yeah.
Tuchel's fired a shot this week.
Has he?
Yeah.
Cross his bow?
Yeah. And said, by the way, there isn't time for a project.
Well, that's what Arsene Wenger told you and I.
Yeah, he did.
He said, I'll give Potter 3 months.
Yep.
He says, and if he hasn't done it in 3 months, he could be out. And you and I looked at him and went, come on, Arsene. And he went, no.
Thomas Tuchel fires word of warning to successor Graham Potter after back-to-back defeats. The German insists nobody will trust the process if the poor form continues.
Okay.
That's his problem. Those players, you know it as well as you know it better than I do. Players quickly work out a coach.
Yep.
I'm not going to.
Does it help that the new owners might have a different view than Abramovich?
I don't think so.
No.
New owners need Champions League football to make the sums work.
New owners don't want to pay billions of pounds and see their team getting beaten every other week.
Sixth or eighth, playing beautiful football from the back that actually is.
But it isn't.
Going
by
nowhere.
The way, it isn't. Yeah, it isn't beautiful football.
That's the perception.
Yeah. Well, it isn't. Trust me. I went to bed last night during the game, first time ever.
Watching Villa.
Man United
at
Villa.
At Old Trafford, yeah.
Yeah, I probably missed a very good second half by all accounts as I woke up this morning. But the first half, I was so bored. It was just, my goodness. I thought, I'm watching millions and millions of pounds worth of football and nothing
Let's
happened.
Let's get another view on that. Let's speak with our guest, shall we? The
good
former
idea.
Northern Ireland international, Irish manager, you notice how I phrase that.
Mm-hmm.
And Forest legend.
Yes, yes.
Who was convinced he could do more than play right side of a midfield quartet.
Mm-hmm. Brian Clough
didn't agree.
No, he didn't. And there was only one winner.
It led to many a conversation between the two. Let's speak. Fingers crossed, okay?
Yes.
I told you, I did exchange messages with him last night. I'm hoping he's on the move today. The launch of the book yesterday, Thursday in London. He's going to Ireland today. I'm hoping that we catch him before he leaves.
Let's hope.
Martin, how are you doing?
I'm fine, Richard. Are you?
It'll be very well, thank you. And how was yesterday for you at the book launch?
It was very good, I must admit. I wasn't expecting anybody to turn up.
Come on!
You're as bad as him. It must be enormously well populated.
And because of that, I wasn't disappointed.
Where did you do it yesterday, Martin? Where were you yesterday?
I did it in London, Andy.
Okay.
At a place called the Landmark Hotel.
Yes, we know the Landmark. Yes.
Beside Marylebone, you know, and it, honestly, it was fine. Roy Hodgson came. John Motson came by Tuesday. It was really nice, and Alan Parry. Nice. So we were. Alan would have to come because I got the job at Wickham Wanderers, possibly through him. Anyway, you know, so that was.
Let's start at the start then, Martin. Yeah. You have written a book, and you've literally penned every word of it in a traditional manner. How and why?
Well, yes, if you're talking about, I'd written it longhand.
Yes.
Because I thought that I wanted to do it. I didn't want it to ghostwritten. And
right.
Secondly, that's the only other way I can do it, Richard, is by longhand. I am not wildly up to date with everything else, although my daughters did tell me, Dad, you know, there's actually a simpler way of doing this. You know, we have machines that you can speak into. And then,
yes, so, they are. Martin, I've got news for you. Your children are right.
How long did it take, for goodness sake?
About 48 years.
Yes, and, I think so.
It was fine. I probably started out quite some months ago. I really should have started it earlier. But anyway, long and the short of it is that Pam McMillan, or a young fellow from Pam McMillan, picked up on the whole thing, asked me to go over to maybe would I do a little bit of a reading, mm-hmm. and almost like an audition in front of this lady called Lucy Hale. And I did that, and I said to my wife, I'm going to bring my best page, the really best page, and she said, let me tell you something, Martin, you only have one page, you know.
Scandalous, Martin.
Give me a harsh
scandalous. Scandalous.
So, you know, my wife is very supportive in a non-supportive fashion. And by saying, actually, when I said, well, I mean, I'm only just starting my career, she said, a second page should have just about ended.
The book wasn't out until yesterday, now officially launched, this being Friday, November. Okay, the 10th?
11th.
11th.
Remembrance Day.
But I did read the serialized, or the two pieces, in the three pieces in the Times this week, Martin, and two things leapt out at me that I need to run past you. One, that you were ever counselled by Alan Parry.
Oh, I know.
In the art of negotiation, or
oh no, no,
yes,
no,
negotiation,
AP,
or not getting frustrated with things like your car parking space. How on earth did that happen?
Alan, well, as you know, Alan is of a different religion to me, and
he's a different religion to all of us.
I'm going to tell him that you boys are missing.
You tell him that we're first of all missing him, but the one person in my life, Martin, that I would have expected to see get into trouble on any given night out,
Alan
would
Parry.
Be AP. I mean, this is a man who, when he was a director of Wickham, was twice charged with bringing the game into disrepute. I mean, come on.
This is honestly, lad. I was a guest of Wickham a couple of weeks ago against Cambridge on a Tuesday night, and the referee should have given Wickham Wanderers a penalty,
a clear-cut penalty.
And Cambridge went down the other end and scored.
Oh no!
Alan was sitting behind me. Well, honestly, he was.
I'm surprised.
Shall I say that the referee heard such calling, a cat calling, that the referee went into the dressing room at halftime via the other turnstile.
Oh, we can imagine, Martin.
One of our famous commentary lines, Martin, it's probably taken on a little bit of an exaggeration in the telling down the years, but yes. Whenever he was behind a mic and Liverpool were playing, yes. I remember the immortal words one night. Owen, that's a penalty. Heskey, we'll take that.
Hey, I've looked at him and I've gone, what do you mean, we'll take that?
We'll take that.
he's well different done. Class. Well done. Now, the other thing I need to check yep. that I read, I've heard this story many times. I've used the line myself. John Hartson was with us on the podcast last week. I went back, Martin, on Sunday. I read this immortal line. I hope it's true. I can't think of any reason why it's not, other than you're lucky to get away with your life, I would have thought. But did you genuinely call him to the dugout on one occasion and tell him to get warmed up because you were bringing him off?
Well, yeah. I'm afraid so, but I did say it behind John Robertson.
What was his reaction, Martin? What did the big man do?
He just wanted to punch my lights out.
Oh, goodness.
And as you can tell, Andy, it's a fairly big guy, and I'm not all that big, so I think he would have won that. And remarkably... The other players, when we're in the dressing room afterwards, he comes over to me and says, why did you kick me off? And I said to John, actually, you know, this game, you're supposed to run around with it, you know. he was apoplectic. But those are the moments, you know, you're not very popular. It's when the rest of the players want to go on, John.
Do it for me, John.
Absolutely. I have to say, it's terrible when some of your favourite players are even joining in.
Yeah, even the quiet ones are there. Come on, John, go on, big man.
Absolutely. You know, you catch a glimpse of the players over John's shoulder, and then you see the sort of anger in their faces.
Yeah. Do you know, Martin, writing the book, was it fun writing the book and recounting everything?
Oh, God.
Andy, I have to say this, honestly, it was a bit of fun. I genuinely started off doing the very first day I ever became a professional footballer, which is etched in my memory. It's like yesterday. And obviously the very first day that Clough ever arrived in and changed their lives. And I kind of started from there, and I thought, oh, yeah, listen here. And my favourite author in England, in English literature, is Thomas Hardy. I love Thomas Hardy. He wrote Mary Casterbridge, Tess of the D'Urbervilles. And I thought, yeah, I can write like him. Really write like him.
And, well, listen, nothing wrong with being ambitious, Martin.
You also thought you could play in central midfield, and that wasn't true either, was it?
He could play there.
Well, it was in this sense, lad, because I'll tell you what, after I said to Geraldine, my wife, I said, what do you think of that? There's like Thomas Hardy. She said, it's more like Oliver Hardy.
Very good. Very good, Geraldine. Lovely.
But anyway, that's enough.
In writing,
you two boys are looking forward to.
No, we stay with the book for a moment. In writing, did you find yourself changing your opinions of anyone, growing closer to them emotionally than perhaps you had done? Those that maybe you'd fought with and look back on life and say,
Of course. I mean, I tried to put myself in, not, you know, for instance, talking about childhood and talking about early days as a 19-year-old coming over to Nottingham Forest. I tried to put myself in a 19-year-old mind rather than something, you know, the age I am now. And you know, that, if you understand what I'm saying. So in other words, I'm trying to write something in that particular time as I probably would write it. For instance, I had, I never, can you hear me?
Yes, we're here.
Right, okay. I had a, I used to buy a diary every single Christmas time, and by the 4th of January, I tacked it in. So, but this particular...
You weren't alone.
No.
Yeah, this particular year of 1972, I've been able to pick up the diary, which I'd kept, and I kept the diary for about 2 months. So I thought to myself, I'll go back to that. Honestly, it's so puerile, it's untrue. You know, like, must do better. Manager doesn't like me, you know, and...
I can't play centre midfield.
And this was long before Clough ever arrived. And I'm, you know, why am I not in the team? Well, actually, the previous week we probably lost 6-0, and I was hopeless. So, but it was one of those, and as you say, Richard, you change your mind of things, but from things. But the point I want to make is that Archie Gamble and myself declared ourselves fit for the European Cup final, mm-hmm. first European Cup final.
Hold on, Marty. Just take this slowly, because, again, this is a story I've heard a lot. Mm-hmm. Be nice to confirm. You're all sitting round, and he checks on the fitness of the pair of you, and both having declared yourselves fit, think you're going to play. Is that right?
Yeah. Absolutely. And the truth of the matter is I had not. My first day's training after I got injured against Manchester City, Big Dave Watson at Manchester City kneed me in the thigh, and it became a blood clot. So I didn't actually train until the Monday of the Wednesday's European Cup final. So that was 3 weeks of that there that I'm out. And I see it from a managerial viewpoint. You can't go in with players. Not for 1 minute do I say, because Trevor Francis was eligible to play in the final, I'm not saying that. But it was the following week after the European Cup final, I play an international game for Ireland, and I'm off at half-time, you know, so that Coffey probably was right. Although I think I was off at half-time because I was also rubbish in that game as well. I know, you see it from a managerial viewpoint. So we sat round the corner, or sat down in the grass, and he says, all three, myself, Archie Gemmell, and Frank Clark, declared ourselves fit. Well, you would, wouldn't you?
And he says,
I can't go in. I can't risk going into a European Cup final with two players who'd hardly ever done some training. And Frank got the nod, because this was probably Frank's last chance of ever winning a European Cup medal. He was 74 at the time.
He was getting on.
Frank Clark.
Absolutely. So, anyway, I can see you two boys are in really, really good form. You know, really good form. Are you looking forward to the World Cup?
No, we're asking the questions.
We're asking them, yes. The answer, you haven't finished your story.
The answer is yes, and you haven't finished your story. correct. Again, if I'm wrong, I sense the comparisons between you and Cluffy down the years have mildly irritated you. I also feel as though, although you're very grateful to him for what he did, you didn't necessarily like him. True or not, and has that view of him changed since you wrote the book?
Well, I'm talking about like him. The truth is this here. I wanted him to like me. I didn't, I was seeking that approval. And in all honesty, I think all of the players were doing exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just that he was, you know, he was giving out to John almost on a daily basis, John Robertson, and I was getting it every 6 months. So
I know where you're coming from, Martin. It's true. Exactly.
And John McGovern played well every week.
Yeah.
I remember Clough saying to me at half time in one of the games that he that if I didn't buck up, he was going to replace me with a linesman. Well, of course, I knew that was against the rules, so you couldn't do that.
Fantastic.
Did you ever get the finger and the thumb and the circle that went with it? Kenneth.
The players used to get that. I got an inverted one, because usually you're coming off me.
So did even Cluffy, Martin, back then, even Cluffy, and we know he loved Robbo. I mean, Robbo was always one of his favourites. You guys knew who was in Cluffy's A team and who wasn't, yeah?
Oh, of course. I mean, Clough came in one time and said to me I wasn't having a kick at the wall, genuinely, at half time against Leeds United. And I said to Viv, "Viv, for God's sake, get the ball down this side. It's going down the left all the time." And Viv Anderson was the best. He was definitely the best fullback in the country. Viv was going, no, I have to make a tackle first. And in the game, and this was at 25 past three. And so anyway, it's a minute half time, and Clough said, "Son, you and I are going to fall out." And I stupidly said to him, "Well, why is that?" And he said, "Because you haven't had a kick." And I said, "Well, it's down the left-hand side the whole time." And he said, "So it should be, son. He's a genius." And,
but okay. And,
lads, I hate to spoil your part. I get a taxi. I have to go to Ireland now.
So yeah, we'll leave you. We'll leave you, Martin. We've taken up too much time already.
Martin, off you go.
Thank you for your time. Thank you for fulfilling our diary commitment. And thank you, we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Martin.
please do. Give us a call.
We will. Thanks. Go on, have a good day.
All right.
Thanks, pal. You forget how funny Martin was, don't you?
We didn't get around to asking him about Neil Lennon. Apparently, Lenny did a very good impersonation of him when they were in the dressing room
at Celtic. So,
yeah, Martin came in one day and wanted to hear it. You know, Lenny, I hear you do a great impersonation. Hold on, let's see it. Fingers flapping in front of the mouth. What a boy! What fun! And that's a book I think that will fly off the shelves. Good luck to him.
Well, anyone who's got a chunk of a book as well about Cluffy and the intimate stories he's got about him, it has to be.
I always feel guilty, though, asking the boys about it.
Yeah, I know.
Because, you know, more happened in their lives than that. Well, how long would Martin have worked with him? 5 or 6 years?
Five years.
You know, more happened in his life than that period. And yet that's the one we all want to talk about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Beaten, well, obviously, for good reason. Those who don't know, Martin did go back and win a European Cup medal the year after.
Hamburg, wasn't it?
Yeah, played against Kevin Keegan's Hamburg. So there's a great story in the book. He talks about in those days, there were only medals for, I think, the 12.
13. 12, and,
13, well, 13 maybe.
Might have been 13.
Yeah. So at the end of the game, Cluffy decided he wanted to print some more. So he said, put everybody with a medal, put them on the, maybe it was more, don't know, put them on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And Martin thought, yeah, really?
Yeah, I'm not putting mine there.
I won't tell the rest of the story. It's a great story. He's a terrific fella. At 70, as sharp as ever he was.
Oh, yes.
I mean, he's 70 too old to get back involved. I know he harbours ambitions to want to manage again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, desperately.
I think probably Club level it might be. Because you know what they think, the whole thought process about a coach. It's not ageist. I'm an old git as well.
Well, I was just going to say, it's those of us who are nearly our 70th years.
Yes, but there's a realism about where football is going, and it's going to young, allegedly vibrant coaches.
Well, maybe not that. Well, it's a roundabout.
Yeah, who bucks the trend? Ancelotti?
Well, look at Roy Hodgson up until last year.
Yeah, up until last year, but yeah.
Still working.
He was. But they buck the trend. That's
the
exception.
You're on the roundabout. There are occasions when you're at the bottom. It's like a Ferris wheel, and then round it goes to the top again.
And then he comes down again.
I'd love him to find a way back.
Yeah. I mean, he's a fantastic character, man.
It's been different. It's been fun this week. Here we are.
Yes.
One week.
And one day.
Yeah. Ready?
Yeah, ready. I mean, I think we should have stopped the Premier League last weekend.
Of course we should.
It needed the national teams need a couple of weeks.
That for me is the problem, not the fact that we've squeezed this in.
No,
but the fact that everybody else has shown it scant respect.
Yes,
and our hosts little or no respect.
No,
and actually, if we'd done a little bit better by them. And we could have done.
Well, listen, what difference would it have made the major leagues in the world if they'd have finished last weekend?
None.
One set of fixtures.
None.
Easy to fit them in.
Yeah.
Easy to fit them in, Keezy. They should have given the national teams at least a couple of weeks to prepare.
Yeah.
And players. And I know there's been a lot of talk about injuries. Players always miss World Cups and European Championships through injury. Ask Virgil van Dijk. He missed the Euros because of an injury. And that was in the summer. So you're always going to have players miss out. That happens. What I think is unfortunate about this and why the leagues deserve criticism is that if you get a little niggle, you can get a knock in football and it maybe take 10 days, 12 days to get over it, to you're fully fit. You're not going to get that time. If you pick up a knock like that this Saturday,
he might not be ready for the England game the following, what is it, Monday? A week on Monday. You might not be ready because you just don't have that two-week gap just to let your body recover. And that's the thing for me. It's little niggling injuries that might affect players more than the big ones. It's just, it's been wrong. The leagues that deserve, the Bundesliga, the La Liga, Liga, Serie A, the Premier League, they all deserve criticism for not shutting down a week earlier.
Agreed. But we are now looking forward to it. Last round this weekend, and then we can concentrate on the greatest show on earth.
Is that?
Done?
Well, done. I don't know if I'm done, but I'm only going to speak on we started the greatest show on earth.
Enjoy. We'll see you next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.